If you look at the sermon title this morning, it says, Grow in Christlikeness, Faith. And that's the sermon series that I plan to preach. Six sermons altogether, and so far I did four. And a couple of Sundays ago, it was Easter Sunday, and last Sunday I didn't preach. So I'm back on number five. Here is the recap of what I have talked about so far. I said as we grow mature in Christ, we will see the signs of love, humility, purity, and honesty in our daily lives. If you don't see those signs, you are not growing in Christ. First, I said that we are called to love one another as Christ has loved us. How did he love us? He loved us both unconditionally and sacrificially. The question for all of us is, do I love others unconditionally and sacrificially? The second thing I talked about is humility, and God wants us to humble ourselves before the Lord. I hope sometime later I will be able to talk more about humility, but it's interesting that the scripture says, God does not humble us. We must humble ourselves before the Lord because God is opposed to the proud. The question for all of us is that, am I humble and teachable? And third thing I talked about is the life of purity that is apart from sexual immorality. The scripture declares that those who practice sexual immorality have no place and no inheritance in the kingdom of God. The next one I talked about is honesty. And God also has called us to live honestly in our words and deeds. And he is the God of truth and light, and no falsehood and dishonesty has a place in God's presence. We, the children of light, ought to live a life with honesty and sincerity. And that's what I have talked about so far. And this morning I'd like to add another aspect of growing in Christ, number five, faith. Let me begin with a question. Can a man bear a child? Everyone knows that nope. No man could bear a child. Second question, can anyone live without breathing more than 5 minutes? Impossible. Here the key word is impossible. No matter how hard you try, there are certain things that you simply cannot do. In the same way, God says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You simply can't when you don't have faith. So what is faith that without it, we cannot please God at all? Why faith is so important that Jesus commands all of us have faith in God? Why does faith matter after all? It matters because it is the foundation upon which we build our relationship with God through Jesus. Jesus offers the salvation and we receive it with and by our faith. Now imagine a house built on the sand. You and I, everyone knows that it will not stand against wind and waves. Same way, God says, without faith, our relationship with God will eventually crumble down. Faith is also like a door. When you open the door, you go into the room. Same way, faith is the door that gives us access to God's throne room. Without faith, we cannot see or please God, the Bible says. So when it comes down to pleasing the Lord, only two things are possible. Either we please him or we don't. Faith determines that. With faith we please God, and without it, we don't. One thing is for sure. If you are serious about your relationship with God, you must bring faith. So what is faith? That's the topic we're going to think about this morning. Let's begin with a standard definition in the dictionary. Oxford Dictionary defines faith as, I quote, strong religious belief. Well, to me it's rather broad and general. Anyone could say that strong religious belief. So I looked further in the dictionary, the scripture, and in the scripture I found over 200 references under certain words as faith, belief, or to believe. Over 200 references, and all of them define faith as to believe in God's existence and God's power and God's creation and God's promise and God's provision and trust in God's goodwill and guidance. So here's the biblical definition in one sentence. Faith is belief and trust in God. Very simple. So keep that in mind as I continue. In today's text, Hebrews chapter 11, I see three characteristics of faith or aspects of faith. Number one is this. Faith is to believe in God's existence. Listen one more time in verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him, referring to God. For he come who comes to God, that means anyone comes to God, must believe that He is, and must believe that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. If you and I claim that we believe in God, we must believe that God actually exists, and we must believe that He is alive. We cannot believe only in the idea of God like some people do. Remember, if you were here on Easter Sunday morning, I spoke about an atheist pastor who loves the idea of God yet denies the existence of an actual God. Such a person, in my humble opinion, never experienced God's power in his life. We must believe that God is. That means He exists in the present tense all the time. Incidentally, did you know the real name of Jehovah God in the Old Testament? What's the name meaning of it? Jehovah. It means I am. So His name is always in the present. I am who I am. Now God has given us the privilege to experience Him and His wonderful power in the present tense, here and now. Sadly, however, too many of us treat and experience God as a Sunday morning God, a once a week God, or worse, once a month God, or the worst, a twice a year God. Christmas and Easter, they come and worship. For those folks who just experience God once a week, the rest of the week, 6 out of 7 days, that's exactly about 85% of the time, God is unwanted. He is dormant 6 days a week and only becomes alive on Sundays. Worse, for many of us, God lives only in our emergency kit, needed and called for only in emergencies. And no wonder our perception of God is way off. No wonder we seldom experience the living God. Imagine any relationship, you know, you talk to each other only once a week. Imagine you're a married couple, husband and wife, and you only have a meal together once every week. Everyone could tell that relationship is not really healthy or sound. Same way, let's ask ourselves a question. Is my God the God of the present? Do I experience Him here and now? Or it was the 20-some years ago I experienced God, and since then I didn't experience Him at all. Don't you think it's about time that you not only believe that He is alive, but also experienced His power in the present tense, here and now? So I invite you to say after me. We're going to say two sentences together. I'll go slow and you can say after me. Lord, I believe that You exist. Here and now. Help me to experience Your power today. Let's do one more time. Lord, I believe that You exist. Here and now. Help me to experience Your power today. Amen. Faith is to believe in God's existence. Number two, faith is to believe that God rewards those who seek Him diligently. Now, those who come to God, scripture says, must believe that not only He exists, but also He is a rewarder. Now, please pay attention to the phrase to seek Him or to seek Him diligently. That's more accurate translation. Seek Him diligently, not casually or lazily. Do you seek Him diligently? Here's what it means to seek God diligently. It means you focus on Him with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. It means you set aside everything else in order to hear God's voice and God's will. Folks, you know, as much as we enjoy the convenient lifestyle in America, I think we are so wrapped up and we are so busy. Our life is, how often people say that my life is so hectic. We constantly, Americans, one of the things that Americans can't do well is the silence. We can't stand even 20 seconds of silence. It's got to go something going on, either music always. You know what it shuts down, though, whenever you're always hearing something? It shuts down your opportunity to listen to God. God never shouts to you. God speaks softly. Set aside everything and to hear God's voice and will. And you and the Lord both know what it is like to turn your heart and mind to Him. It requires giving your undivided attention to Him 100%, not a single percent less. It means to have God as your first priority in your life. It means a full surrender to Him. It means a complete trust and obedience to God. In fact, the Bible is full of stories of people who sought God with all their hearts and minds. And in return, God rewarded them with the miracles that followed their prayers. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. The first one is Elijah the prophet. I'm sure you heard of him. He was the one who was taken into heaven in his, you know, his fiery chariot. Elijah prayed to God once not to give rain in Israel. You know what happened? There was no rain for 3.5 years in Israel. And then he prayed again and the heaven gave rain. Here's another one. Daniel, who was thrown into the lion's den. You know, we all learned in the Sunday school classes. What do you think he was doing in the den when he was thrown violently so that he may become a meal to these hungry lions? I don't think he was thinking about a vacation in the Bahamas, don't you think? He prayed hard with all his heart and mind for God's protection, and God rewarded him by what? Sending his angels to shut up the lion's mouths. What about Peter? What about Paul? What about all the witnesses we have throughout our Christian history? Even I think of my own self, those times that I received and I experienced God's miracles always preceded by my undivided attention when I sought God diligently. All these folks who experienced God's miracles had one thing in common, that is that they gave their hearts 100% to the Lord and sought Him diligently in whatever situations they were in. Whether they were sick, whether they're in depression, whatever it is. And as a result, God rewarded them with deliverance from their troubles. Now, one thing we need to be very careful, each time we think of the heroes in the Bible, we call heroes in America, but people in the Bible, we shouldn't think that they were all superhuman beings. In fact, the Bible declares that all of these, Elijah, you know, Daniel, and whoever, they were all ordinary people like us. That's very comforting to know. And not only that, we also have the same God, the God that they served and prayed to, and God who rewarded them, is the same God that we serve and worship. And listen to 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9, which says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His." The question is your heart completely His? The eyes of the Lord are still moving to and fro today. all throughout the earth. When his eyes find you, God will reward you. The second aspect of faith is to believe that God rewards those who seek him diligently. And third aspect of faith is this. Faith is to obey God, trusting in his faithfulness, even though you do not fully understand what's going on around you and in your life. Suppose God appeared in your dream last night and told you to do one thing. Build an ark, 450 foot long and 75 foot wide and 45 foot high. If you can measure that ark, the length only, it is longer than the football field. Do you know that? Football field is 360 by 160. This is much longer than football field. Now, how would you respond to his command? What would you say to him? I guess most of us would come up with excuses why we can't do it. Saying, Lord, I'm afraid you picked the wrong person. Are you really God? I'd better check with my pastor about who you truly are. Or can you appear in my dream one more time tonight? I just want to make sure it is you. All kinds of reasons why we can't. Now, you change your mind and suppose this time that you are a 75-year-old person. You are quite content with your life achievements so far, and you are happy where you are. The only thing you don't have is your own child. But that's all right. No need to, you know, take another adventure or excitement now. And then one night, out of nowhere, God asks you to leave your hometown for an unknown country in South America. A place you've never been before, and you know nobody there, and you don't even speak Spanish. But that's not all. God even promises a brand new baby between you and your wife, who happens to be in her 60s. God says, you're going to have your own son by your wife. You say, oh, really? Well, if you think these two examples are far-fetched, it is not. They are both taken from actual stories in the Bible. The first one I was referring to, Noah, and the second one is, of course, Abraham. Now, think of your own reactions to God. Most of us want to make sure that everything is going to be all right before we commit ourselves to God's command, don't we? And those two men were different, though. They obeyed God's voice literally and blindly with no clue whatsoever about the outcome of their commitments. In fact, they did not have the slightest idea what would happen next other than just carrying out God's command one day at a time. To many people, they both were crazy or even senile. Faith sometimes appears crazy, you know. By the way, I wonder why the Lord chose those two individuals. One was 600 years old and the other one was 75. Although there must have been plenty other, quote unquote, young and strong candidates. For one reason, folks, that is faith. Faith in God. God knew what kind of heart they had, the heart that believed in God and his power, the heart that was determined to follow whatever God commanded them to do, the heart that did not mind being called names by the world, the heart that did not question God about whether it was going to work or not, the heart that simply listened to the Lord and trusted in his good will. And that heart, the Bible says, was counted right in the sight of God. And that heart is called faith. God invites all of us this morning to come on board his ship. The name of the ship is faith. He is the captain of the boat and he is calling us to leave the shore and join him in a voyage in the sea of life. And some of us are reluctant to leave our comfortable lifestyles on the ground. Others are hesitant to hop aboard due to the fear of the wind and waves. Many of us are still calculating the odds of coming back safe to the shore as the boat is about to leave. Only a few of us will respond to God's call with gusto. Lord, wherever you lead me, I will go. Are you aboard? Are you still standing at the shore? Are you coming? Let's bow our heads and pray. Sometime in our life, Lord, you gave us a treasure, something called faith. All of us holding that faith in our hands. Some of us enjoy and take every single advantage of it, not only believing in you, but also experience the God in the present, here and now, almost every single day. Others set aside this great faith gift and even don't know that it exists. Yes, unfortunately and sadly, the only time we go back to is the time when we need you. How sad it is. Help us, Lord. First of all, we repent of our sin that we did not bring our faith to you except emergencies. And we just forgot that God rewards those who seek Him diligently. We believe it is about time that we started back again. We believe in you in the present tense. Lord, we fix our eyes on you and turn our hearts and minds and following you with all our hearts and minds and strength and might. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.